The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. It's the last day of the year of 2020. What a year it's been. Pete, Steve, Paddy, you're right, lads.
Hello.
It has been, I know people have said it, but it's been an odd one, isn't it, really? But
I think it's been really good.
Yeah.
It's not been a bad year, is it, really?
Oh, no, seriously. Well, there's lots of good stuff this year.
Yeah, no, it's always good to look at the positives, I think. And I generally think, you know, like I said, you know, social distancing is a good thing. Washing your hands a bit more is not too bad, either, you know, and all that stuff. But, yeah, and do you know what? As far as, you know, in investments, I don't know if you've got this to hand. I was going to ask you this pre-podcast recording, but how has your portfolio done this year? Because mine's not done too bad. I was a bit, you know, scared on dash for cash, and I topped up on a fund. That's about it. Didn't top up on the. And looking back now, the fear was the time to buy. And if you bought anything in that dash for cash sell off, you'd double your money pretty much. But I don't know if you can get the figures to hand. But percentage gains this year, boy, or percentage losses? How has your portfolio performed this year? Tell me all about it.
I'm up about 55%.
See, that's unbelievable, nice. Really, isn't it? And you think we had that big sell-off, you know?
Yeah. I'm up from the start of the year, I'm up like 35%, but from like after the dash of cash, I'm up about 70%.
Yeah. Steve, come on, Steve, blow us away, fella.
Mm. Yeah, I'm probably on around about 40 to 50%.
Exactly. See, what are you going to bank? Put your money in bank. It's just about investing, see? And I'm not going to say anything yet, but a pet project going on. I think people should learn. The sooner they learn about investing, the better. Because there's lots of things taught in schools that I've never, ever used, never relevant. The most relevant thing I ever learned was when Mr. Barry Williams said, right, in economics A-level, said, right, what are we going to do now is a competition, stocks and shares. I thought, what's all this about then? And I became obsessed with it. I used to go to this library every day to check the share prices in the Financial Times. Didn't do very well. But since then, I've been obsessed. And I thought, so that initial seed, just let people find out for themselves. But the initial seed, I've learned about things like trigonometry and Pythagoras' elbow, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. So they never ever use that nonsense, ever. I said, well, hang on, I'm not learning about real life stuff, you know? You could actually transform your wealth by investing. You can become financially free by investing. There's plenty of stuff and other boring stuff like mortgages. You could learn that anyway. But investing can be quite exciting and fun, you know? So,
What are your figures? What's your figure for the year?
Well, I looked yesterday, it was 86% up for the year. So
From January, right?
From January, from January, yes.
And, yeah.
I'm going to do a video covering some of the stocks I've covered and the performances of those. Some of those I missed out on, and I started doing patience. I know Paddy keeps going, look at Powerhouse Energy.
Yeah.
But it's like focusing on the past. You know, there's no point doing that. And
it will go down again at some point. It keeps on doing. This is my whole point with that stock. It's not that it's got an amazing story. It goes up and down so much that you could have just made £1 million just by investing on every up and down 10%.
Yeah. No, but they did have a big move as well, though. But no, the initial thing
is, has a few of them along the way.
Yeah, what I've learned from that, also is I have a bit of, in fact, Argo Blockchain has also done very well, which is a bit different.
Yes.
No one could have predicted. And no, you can't predict the move in Bitcoin. There are, of course, Bitcoin evangelists, so crazy, who say it's going to $1 million.
Oh, those guys. I know they bang on about it all the time. I know. Just keep on. Oh, it's so boring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're mad. But, I mean, you know, Argo's now starting to reflect the movement in Bitcoin, so that's done very well. Again, I did have patience there, got out. But my initial thoughts on it, I did videos on Bitcoin saying it's going very well, it's going to do very well and that stuff. And I didn't stick with my conviction, you know, and same with Powerhouse Energy. As I said, you know, it's like alchemy, turning rubbish into clean energy. Doesn't get better than that. Stuff that people don't want, and it's still not commercially proven yet, but it's getting there. And but that's all about shares, don't look back. And I did a poll on Twitter, say, what's your thoughts for 2021 compared to 2020? The options were more bearish, same, more bullish. 67.6% of people said more bullish, and of course they will, otherwise they wouldn't invest, would they? That's all about shares. It's all about looking forward. And so when people say to me, for example, I'll give you an example, someone said, yes, but look at Escape Hunt, there's nothing open at the moment. And I said, yeah, but and look at the figures in the digital game they did, right? And that will underpin the valuation right alone, and that's just starting. And you've got to look down the line, you see, because shares are about the future, and that's why the stock markets have risen. In this, you know, dire time of economic circumstances, shares have risen because they're saying, we've now got a vaccine. shares, you know, companies look at 6-12 months, 3 years, 5 years out as to what they will be doing, not right now or what's happened. So when looking at what's happened, pointless. So, you know, people are looking at what the revenue is going to be generating in 12 months' time. And I think it's going to be a flyer in 6-12 months' time. Because let's be honest, the big one's out, isn't it? What are your thoughts on that? AstraZeneca, Oxford. It's good news, isn't it?
I thought the market was running a little bit over the news of that, but it didn't seem to do much, did it?
Yeah, I think at the moment we are getting some dire figures, aren't we? And they are. Do you know what? I listened to Radio 5 this morning with Richard Burden. A doctor came on, didn't catch his name. Phenomenal. He articulated the issue, the problem at the moment in the NHS. It's really bad. And he was saying that if we just behave and listen, socially distance, it would help us a lot. But we are now in a dire situation. We're transporting people. There's people being transported from Essex to Yorkshire hospitals. So he said, we're in this situation. There are people out, and Rachel Burton said, well, a friend of mine said, yeah, if you believe the figures. And he said, what do you say to people like that? I said, I don't know what to say to them. I said, come and work with me. If it was safe, I said, come and see what's happening. I said, we're not making this up. I don't understand.
We're not being shown it, though, are we? That's the issue. Like, for some reason, the NHS aren't being allowed to let journalists in, so we can't see it. And until people can see it, they don't believe it.
Is that because they're so busy they can't, you know, they're prioritising, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah, and the problem is, it's not people can say, yeah, but what about the extra things, the Nightingales? That isn't the problem. It's staff. They do not have the staff. And they were set up for ventilators anyway. But, I mean, there's people now have been affected by it. So I think this wave, this massive wave, we've still got the scum because, you know, over Christmas and New Year's, it's saying stay at home, COVID loves the crowd. And so, and they're trying to...
Isn't it sad? And it's a sad reflection. This is going a bit deep and a bit off a tangent. It's a sad reflection on society that there is that little trust that people can't... You can't just believe... I mean, I believe them. I go, yeah, I believe the NHS is now under stress and that all these stories that they're saying about the ambulance loading and all the rest of it. I believe that. I have no reason not to believe that. So I believe that.
Did you see Spencer Morgan's son?
Lots of people don't.
Yes, Piers Morgan's son, Spencer Morgan. He tweeted something like, you know, almost along the lines of a conspiracy theory, saying, oh, yeah, more of that. A new coronavirus strain. What else are they going to come up with? You know? And someone below, the reply below was brilliant. They said, do you honestly think every nurse, every doctor, everyone you see on TV are in on this one big conspiracy theory?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so organised, no one's cracking at the seams on this conspiracy, and yet the government can't organise, you know, the rollout of anything pretty much, but yet they're so good at this conspiracy theory. I mean, people, it's not that complex, honestly. Life is a bit simpler than that, you know, when it comes down to people. We're not that organised. Government's not that organised. They can't speak themselves. I saw yesterday that... they were asking this COVID rollout, the vaccine rollout, how fast it'll be. And Matt Hancock said, I'm not going to put a figure on it. It's one of the most sensible things he said, I thought. He said, I'm not going to put a figure on how many will get rolled out because a lot of it's down to manufacturing. We can only go as fast as they can produce the stuff. And they're producing now for lots of countries, of course. They're going to produce about 3 billion doses. So I don't want to put any figures on it. And then later on in the press conference of Boris Johnson, Jonathan Van Tam said something slightly different. I thought, just why don't you all try and get together on the same hymn sheet and they can't even organise that, you know, because he said something different. And so we don't know.
It seems crazy to me that we're not vaccinating doctors and nurses, though. The reasons the NHS is under strain is because there are lots of doctors and nurses isolating or ill. Why don't we just get them done first and then we solve a big part of the problem?
Yeah,
and also they're the ones transmitting it as well to patients as well, aren't they? So yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what? I'm going to clip this doctor from the Radio 5 Live, and he was brilliant. And he needs him. He was so clear, and he said he came up with some stats. Something like 70% of it being transmitted is by under 20-year-olds or something. And he said, listen, in my hospital, everyone believes there's like, you know, 90-year-olds in hospital filling up the beds. Absolutely not. Those people are dying. So we can't do anything for those. In my hospital, he said, I'm 58. Half the people in the hospital right now are younger than me. He said, and that's the people we can do something for, okay? And so he said, we're not full up with this old people who are on the last legs. That's a complete misnomer, misconception. So, and he said, there are countries in the world dealing with it because they're obeying the rules. If we obey the rules, just stand away from people, wash your hands, we could have a much normal society. We wouldn't have to have all these lockdowns that the conspiracy theories are saying, oh, it's conspiracy. And it's nonsense, absolutely. So, yeah, I think that the reason why, I want to say a long-winded answer, Steve, but the rally isn't here because we're now getting, you know, flooded with the headlines of the NHS being overwhelmed, and that is preying on people. And so lockdowns are coming in. We've also had further lockdowns. And in fact, what is Wales on now? Are they like, right, we're not having a lockdown now because everyone else is...
Now. What? Tier 8 now.
Tier 8 for... Right, the rest of them, gone Tier 4, right, we're doubling ours, Tier 8. In fact, they've locked down, we're unlocking. Now, what we do, we've gone from executing people now with the virus, so what we're going to do now is we're going to put them on the border in a big catapult, people with the virus, and shoot them over into England. And then they won't be in our figures, it'll be in their figures. So there we are, that's us. Anyway, so I think that's a bit of bearishness, but that'll happen. But do you know, with this bearishness, like I said, going back to March, there's opportunity. When I say things like that, people say, oh, you're very bearish because you must be in cash. Not often, no. I just think I've got a lot of cash, really, that was in the portfolio. But I think it's opportunity, you know. I know what the companies should be valued at the end of this year or towards next year. And you think, is it cheap compared to that? And that's the way you work it out, isn't it? That's why you should look at the market cap rather than the price sometimes. Look at the value rather than the price, you know.
Yeah. I would say that I agree that the if the rally is not here or whenever, and looking further down the line, 12 months, 24 months, well down the line. But in the short term, it is about price and about sentiment. And you're sort of going, if the sentiment's there, or sentiment's not positive, that the share price could drift down and then you could be buying at a better price, couldn't you? So
but
short term thinking about price is...
People get worried when the price goes down in the stock. Now, so you shouldn't be worried if there's future value going to be generated that's above that value currently. So, I mean, you know, unless you fall in. I mean, there's a guy called Ben on Twitter today, did his 12 lessons I've learned sort of thing, and one of them was don't overexpose. And he had a figure of 25% maximum, and I sort of agree with that. And because once you get to that level, you can tell people that are overexposed. They won't accept any, you know, other side of the argument, or they're just ramping their stock hard, you know? And you can't do that. When you get too emotionally attached, you can't think straight. And so I think, and what prevents you getting too emotionally attached is not getting overexposed. If you're overexposed, you are literally so attached to it, you know, you can't sleep at night.
What's your percentage in Escape Hunt?
I don't know, it's not that much, I think. I do know, part of me wants to go above that. I think if we have a dip now, and I think it may dip over the next 4 weeks, then I think it's worth buying some more of. But again, I'm heading towards that threshold of being overexposed. So maybe not. Maybe I'll do somewhere else. But I just think the valuation here is underpinned by digital. If you look at it, the margins and all that, and that's just started. And yet they're going to be rolling out more sites when we get open back up. And if you've got pre-lockdown. They're growing. Always look for growth. They're growing. They are growing. There's no lack of demand there for what they've got. And I just think it's going to go forward. And like I said, and in fact, coming to your point, Pad, on WhatsApp about the, have you got any subjects to talk about? And you mentioned, what did you say about the retail sector, the impending retail doom? What did you say?
I think that there's... I think it's an interesting story over the next couple of years in terms of retail and commercial rental prices. Mm. I think that will have a big effect on our cities and how we live.
In what way? Expand, please, Patrick.
So, like the events of the last year or so have just sort of fast-forwarded some trends that have been going for a while, haven't they? Working from home and online shopping. And obviously those things have become necessities over the last 8 to 12 months. But as we get used to that and as footfalls start to fall in city centres, prices for commercial property and rental property are going to have to fall because the demand won't be there anymore. So we'll either end up with cities that are just like empty shelves in the centre because no one goes there anymore, or the rental prices is going to have to come down dramatically to meet the demand. Which might create some interesting opportunities for new businesses in those areas, which wouldn't have been able to go there otherwise.
I think rentals will come down in the next short term. That's what's happening. Have you noticed some of the updates even from Escape Hunt? They've said that they're now in situations where they couldn't afford, you know, certain retail outlets, but they've been approached by the landlords there saying, come back and have a look because we're not charging anything. We just need tenants because obviously most of the traditional, if you're not a good retailer with a good online presence as well, you're in trouble. If you go to the high street, presence, but nothing else, then you're in trouble.
I think it's going to change the way, like, completely retail. Like, just an example, like, so where I live, there's a shopping centre, a local shopping community village thing, which has been empty for probably years and years and years, because I can imagine the landlords are charging stupid amounts. And they've just gone in now, and one businessman has come in and basically gone to the landlord and I'll take all the properties off you at a ridiculously reduced price for a short-term lease of like 2 years. And he just put loads of indies in there, you know, really independent, small.
Yeah,
and it's completely changed the community. Like, suddenly the shopping centre has just become busy again. And so it's not your big Tesco's and stuff like that, but and I think that's the way it's going to work. I think it's probably going to pull the profits out of landlords, but I'm not complaining about that because they're the ones making millions and millions anyway. So
hang on, can we stop a sec? Can you put Steve Martin, the real Steve Martin, on, please?
Yeah.
I've never heard such sense coming from Steve in my life.
Yeah,
that was unbelievable, Steve. That's it. Do you know what? Maybe it is the regeneration of these smaller bit, and you need that. That's a supply and demand, isn't it? That's how it works. That's how an efficient marketplace works. Obviously, it's horrible as businesses go through and people go out of work and all that. But then you need that change. The prices come down to where people can afford it and actually make a living by paying the lower rents and rates and all that stuff. And yet it'll transform. Yeah, I know. I think it'll be interesting.
Anyone has a pension, and you know, one of the biggest thing pension funds have always gone into is big bricks and mortar shops.
Well, this is exactly what I was getting to.
Oh yeah, the impact. So you can say that I agree with you, Steve, on that small example, that's great. Mm. But you look at the bigger shopping centres, bigger institutions like that, and where the massive part of that has been pension funds, and they're not going to be earning, and you sort of. How's that going
to
pan out?
Well, let me say one thing then, boys. Let me back to start. My pet project is about investing for yourself, creating your own wealth. There's only two ways to get wealthy in this life, right? And that is own a successful business or own a share of a successful business, you know? And that's why I think, don't leave it to people to invest your money. You can learn yourself. Anyone can learn to become an investor. You can. It just takes a bit of time. And I know, Pat, you said people generally don't have time or can't be bothered to do it. It's up to you then. It's up to you. You'd say, well, if you can't be bothered to do it, then put it in the hands of somebody else. They'll achieve, you know, average returns for you over so many years, and you'll end up with a pension that, you know, you can't do what you want to do in your life. You think, I've worked all my life for this. My pension's average. And do you know what? With a bit of patience, you know, a bit of self-learning, you know, investing yourself, create your own wealth, and you don't have to rely on these overpaid fund managers and all that stuff to create your wealth for you. So you can do it yourself. You know, you really can. It takes a long time. But do you know what? It's learning. I love learning. As you get older, you love learning. I've learned more about anything than through, not just, you know, share prices, but I mean, about industries, about biotech companies, about mining companies, everything. Because you have to learn about them to understand and invest in them. And so I think it's been, I think investing, not just trading, investing and actually reading is rewarding. I really do in so many ways. And like I said, if you want, you know, some kind of financial freedom, you can do it via investing. And that's why I want to try and get younger people just to start them off. Because there's no starting schools, I don't think, at the moment where this is what investing is, you know, or this is how business, this is how, and I don't know how you inspire people, but I'm trying to maybe gamify it in some way. But I just think it should be a part of the education curriculum, you know, from an early age, and that way you don't have to rely on pensions. Don't put your future in someone else's hands if you don't have to. Do it yourself, because you care more about it than they do. They get funded fees for it. They don't care about your future, pretty much. You do. Right. Get involved in it.
Absolutely. What are you going for, education secretary?
Like Mr. Barry Williams, see? Said stocks and shares, boys. I don't know how he did it. It wasn't like online. It's basically maybe a spreadsheet. I can't even remember who won or who lot. I didn't do very well, but because I realised I invested in companies I sort of heard of, big ones, but didn't move much, you know? So you need to get into some smaller growth companies, really, for that kind of thing. But it's always a learning experience, I reckon. So, anyway, that's what I think. Anyway.
Anyway, solid state batteries.
Yeah. that went mad, didn't it? Ilika? Mm. I don't know why. It went berserk. I think the stock was quite tightly held. It's going to come back a little bit. Of course it is.
Yeah, what happened there? You said it was someone shorting it, but I know what that is, but I didn't really understand why that would affect the price so much.
I don't know if it was. Maybe, but there was a big buy that went in the other day after it risen by 100%, and then on the day when it was start this week, I think it was. It was ended up in closed at 2.5% up. It was earlier in the day, but 30% up, I think, something ridiculous, and then a 700 grand buy went in at 4:40, which is 10 minutes after the market close, and it ended up closing up 25%. That was the final up.
So the buy in the morning was 10 minutes before the market opened as well, which was confusing because it was already showing at 25% up before the market actually opened.
But that shows you sometimes, if you've got a big buy there like that, what happens? Market makers, if they haven't got the stock, you know, what do they do? What do you do? If you've got a big rally in a stock, right, and you haven't got the stock, but you've got a big buy order sitting there, 700 grand, you get a bit of, you know, commission off that, obviously by spreads. What do you do? I mean, I know people say about market manipulation, all that stuff, and market makers, and I don't know if it happens, but they obviously, people say, oh, there's market makers are market down. They market the price down to get sellers in there. Get sellers in there, obviously, because people do that. People work with sentiment. If they see a stock's going down, they've done well, they start selling. Oh, I'm going to sell. I'm back my profit. And start selling. So the market may then have some stock to fill that order. You know, I don't know if that's what happens or what, but who knows? But if you've got a big order, let's be honest, it's just natural market mechanics, isn't it? If you've got to fill a big order and you haven't got the stock, what do you do? Try and get some stock. How do you get some stock? You get people to sell, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway,
so you reckon that's what happened?
I don't know what happened, but all I know is, you know, people said to me,
it's weird though, isn't it?
It's weird that
all that happens and it's impossible to find out what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say to people, right, I've had a lot of questions by people saying, market base, what do you think of them? And I say, ignore it. It's not in a long, you should think longer term. They may be able to do things, you know, short term to fill some things here and there. But if a company is going to do well long term, they can't do a lot. The share price is going to, if they're going to create value, the share price is going to go up. Concentrate on that, really, rather than, you know, what's happening. The mysteries of the market makers. It's not worth getting into it. You know?
But as it stands with Ilika, like you say, it's dropping now, and that's not surprising people taking profit and all the rest of it. But it's that classic of, well, the buyers have dried up. So how far will, it seems to have dried up. So how far will it drop? And, you know, when you've seen a big gain like that, we've all been here before. Is it best tactic, if you're thinking long term, the best tactic is to hold on or take some profit, de-risk a little bit?
For me, I haven't sold any. I didn't max out on it first time round anyway. So I think, okay, I'll sit and wait now. Because like Paddy said, you're going to take some profit on this. No, because unless the government changed their policy of this, you know, electrification policy, I'm not going to. That's one of the biggest trends ever. It is, really is. I don't know. Apart from, like you said, the internet, maybe. That was, this doesn't get bigger than this. You know, not every government in the world decided, right, everything's going digital in 10 years' time, full stop. You know, if that happened, that would go bonkers, but it did anyway. But this is where pretty much every government's saying we're going electric or we're going, you know, reducing our carbon footprint. So I think the trend is it'll come down, it'll spike up, it'll come down, maybe bow to around, I look at the chart now, it's 205, maybe bow around 180 or something like that. But there will be, you know, as there will be more news every day. I always set up Google Alerts on any stock I'm following, the sector in. And the news coming out about electrification of vehicles around the world is phenomenal. It's non-stop. And, like, in the end, it'll tick back up. And, like, you know, and when you get hype in a stock, it'll settle down a bit, but it'll go back up, honestly. People will buy this dip because the hype is there so and the demand is there.
Are you going to buy the dip? That's the other, like you say, you were not fully in the first time. When a price goes up like this, the hardest bit now is to go, yeah, I want to increase my holding, but how far down will it go? Like, if I increase now, that feels a little bit toppy, whereas I need to come down a little bit. But at what point?
I'd go to the chart for that, because, you know, the production is still a couple of years out. I'd just say, right now, the RSI, for its relative strength, is coming down. It's really a short-term downtrend. I wouldn't buy a short-term downtrend. I went to the tops around a bit, then has a pop-up, maybe, and you can see the RSI pick back up then. And then you know you're actually, you know, you're going the right direction.
If you're sure you can be, why not sell now and buy back in, you know, or sell some now, de-risk now, and buy back in when it's, as you say, bottomed out a little bit and on the way back up?
Because it's a trader, I know, it's a business, I want to accumulate stuff. Thing is, look at my position right now. I haven't got a huge amount of cash, right? I'm happy with the position I hold at the moment because it doubled. So it's effectively, I wanted to have twice as much as I did have, but it's doubled anyway. So I've got that percentage now. So that exposure I'm happy with. It may come around, but how do I allocate that cash I've got? Can I, you know, move it into other stocks that I think will do better? Now, you've got to look at the market cap as well. Sometimes you've got to ignore it. I know you always look, which is good, Pete, now looking at valuations. You've always got to try and do that. But sometimes you've got to throw it, when you come to a hot, very hyped sector like this, and there's grounding behind the hype, and the it's commercial. The end markets are massively commercial. So you've got to say, okay, shall I, I'll see. I'm happy with the ride, yeah. I bought it at a good price. I'm happy to hold on. If you want to trade it, trade it. I'm not. I just think it's an interesting company. There's not a huge amount of, you know, there's not millions of solid-state battery producers around the world. So even though they're not unique, they're certainly not, the market's not flooded with solid-state battery producers. And so...
Obviously, I know the answers to this down to all the research I did, but just a little test for you guys. Like, who do they make batteries for?
At the moment, they don't. So what happens with...
Correct.
Yeah. At the moment, they've got collaborations with... well, lots of companies, but the three big ones you've probably heard of are Honda, Jaguar Land Rover, and McLaren. And they're all doing different things with them. And that's how it works, you see. They'll work in conjunction with these big companies. And that's very good. If they work on their own, they'll, okay, hang on. How is this small company in Romsey going to do anything? But they've got grants. Well, they raised $15 million. They got a grant from Innovate from the UK Battery Industrial Centre, BIC, UK BIC, for $5 million. They're working with these companies. So it's about, you know, scaling up now at the moment and getting help scaling up, talking with customers what they need. So it's about that. And if you look at it, so like Tesla, then Tesla's not in solid state. The solid state batteries are proven to be better than what Tesla have. So there's, you know, Tesla can work with this company. I'm not saying that as a hype thing. Of course they will. In fact, if Tesla want to improve their range, you know, and charging ability, speed, then they can work with a solid-state battery. I'm not saying it's going to be Ilika, but it could be QuantumScape or one of the others. But if Tesla does that, what do you think will happen to the share price of Ilika, you know? It's because, I mean, there's very few, there's still, you know, technologies, we're still cutting edge here. But this is one of the proven...
Who makes Tesla's batteries, then?
They do.
No, they don't. They class them as their batteries, but there is another manufacturer who makes them for them, isn't there? Exclusively for Tesla.
It's John.
They make some huge...
Who is it?
What do they call them? Gigafactories.
Yeah. You love this, pal. I thought when I saw this news, have a look up their Gigafactory. They're building one in Berlin, right? Gigafactory. But in Berlin. But it's run into issues. You know why? You would never get the answer to this. Why do you think it's run into issues, the building of this?
Do you know what? I actually read the article on this and I completely forgot what the answer was.
Okay. Run out of cable or something.
No. It's something to do with planning permission, isn't it?
Yes.
I can't remember what it is now.
It's about, is it about snakes? Literally, there's wildlife and stuff. Where are they going to build it? Yeah. Snake, I think it was snakes, some kind of snake, really obscure snakes. That they've run into problems. They can't build it because these snakes and some other wildlife. But what snakes are? You know, is this snakes? Take me the snakes.
Oh, yeah, that rings a bell. I thought it was
the conspiracy theorists will read something into that.
Yeah. But no.
When I had snakes as well.
Tesla's German Gigafactory construction rolls on despite hibernating snakes. Reptiles have had their annual nap in the latest roadblock to Tesla's. And there's rumours that there was something else. And they said lizards and snakes bring halt to work at the plant near Berlin. And of course, you know, if they want to... so I'm sure they make their own... They've got their Gigafactories. I'm sure they make their own batteries, Steve. But type it in. But again...
Your mic's sounding really weird, Justin.
Is it? Is that because I think everyone's on the internet, aren't they, for New Year's Eve and stuff like that, because they're partying for a moment. But but what I'm saying is, Ilika, for example, what I'm saying is they're in a very hot area, a very cutting-edge tech. The demand is massive. It's not going to go away, electrification, you know, vehicle batteries and all that stuff. So I'm holding off the ride. It's a patience thing that I've learned previously. If you're in a trend, if you get a good price on a company, good decent valuation, could have got better. Of course you could, but hold on there. A bit of patience.
Also,
hold on.
How else can you get exposure to solid state batteries in AIM or on any stock?
Exactly.
Yeah. There isn't where that trend. The way to invest in that trend via the stock exchange, as far as I know, because I haven't done a huge amount of research. I have to admit, but You certainly haven't mentioned any others that are listed. Am I right?
Well, as far as I know, there's not. There's one called. There's another company, but they're not in solid state batteries per se. They're sort of that area, but not. But yeah, but no.
Squidgy batteries.
Yeah, yeah, but I just think there's no bigger trend, and I said you've got to go the trend. You know, analogy.
Remind me, solid states, because that I got a power electric car, and one thing I noticed since, and it's the first winter I've had it, and it's absolutely useless during the winter because it just doesn't use the electric because obviously the batteries are too cold. Is that different with a solid state?
Yep.
you're making that up by the your answer then.
That's car salesman in him there. That'll be it.
My internet is dreadful today. I don't know what's going on. No, but listen, have you looked at my...
You didn't even hear what I said. You just said yes.
So essentially, if you look at their tech, right, there's many sort of there's, first of all, range is a thing, speed of charge is a thing, density and weight is a thing, there's also non-flammable. But I'm sure that's in there. That's
we'll go with that.
My internet's so bad I can't even look in the news, so I can't even open anything up here. So I don't know what's going on here. But I need a solid state battery. Why is the internet
making
so
your
bad?
Voice sound like you're sort of like a really bunged up Welshman?
You know, I am pretty much.
You sound fine to me.
So New Year's Eve, do you any resolutions, boys? I mean, do you actually sit down and do any? That thing, isn't it? It's like a new start, new year, especially now, you know?
No, it's the answer. Are you, Justin?
Yeah, I think I eat more unhealthy food, exercise less, drink and smoke more, you know?
I'm going to do less DIY next year.
Well, you must, it's not
you
hard.
You enjoy it, though, Pads.
Say again?
You enjoyed your DIY, though.
No, I'm really bored of it. Once this patio is done, it's pretty much done, though, so there's no more to do, so that's good.
Nice, good work.
Someone put on Twitter yesterday that watch out for tomorrow, there's going to be lots of very earnest Instagram posts, so I'm looking forward to that later.
Oh, and that's one thing, actually, and it's not a New Year's resolution, but one thing I have decided I'm going to do long-term future-wise is I'm going to start probably turn off my social media during the week and just, like, trying to massively cut back on wasting my life looking at that.
Yeah. It's harder to do than you think, though, isn't it?
But I am going to try and... One of my friends did it. He said it's massively improved his life. Like, just by turning off a couple of days a week, you think, okay, yeah, that should probably make sense.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I was going to... A while back, I was going to do Tweet-Free Tuesday. Just not tweet on a Tuesday and then start with one day. And try that. You know, just try one day and say, I'm not even going to look at it. I don't care. You know, I don't have any... Do you have any notifications? I've never had that set up anyway. I never get notified.
I turned off notifications after watching that documentary a couple of months ago on Netflix. And to be fair, that's helped loads because you don't end up just looking at your phone every 2 seconds when it flashes up the notification.
The problem I've got is I've got one group of friends who we only communicate on Instagram, the messenger thing.
But say Facebook, I know it's different with Instagram, but Facebook, you can delete your Facebook app, but keep the messaging app, which is quite handy.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that on Instagram.
You can't now.
Do you know what I want to say about thing? Right, Brexit, right? We're leaving the EU, right, on 11 o'clock tonight. Are you going to be celebrating?
We've already left the EU. That's already happened. The transition period comes to an end tonight.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
But so we're going to on our own basically. But the thing is, right? If you look at it, you know that all the fuss kicked up. In the end, things work out, don't they? The worry about something happening, it does generally. I mean, the biggest worries we have, you never see coming, like coronavirus. Those are the things you can't plan for, you know.
But the worry on this one is it's dead. It's that kind of frog syndrome, isn't it? Like what we're going to see is a slow deterioration.
No. Don't mean No, because it's both sides of this. It's both sides, honestly. And there are businesses on both sides of Brexit who don't want to mess their own business up. So they'll find a way of doing it. Like, for example.
But that way might result in slightly less investment over decade, which in total adds up
to
a lot of less investment.
You would know. And also,
yeah, but it doesn't achieve anything.
No, but the thing is, we innovate, and that's what improves. And in fact, you get better, and I believe in the UK. Have you seen that thing? I mean, down to necessity, but there's a survey out. There are a lot more businesses started the second half of this year than previously in 2019.
Yeah, now, most of them are Tories making money out of PPE.
No, they're not. Go and read the article. Just generally, it's
people,
you know,
avoiding tax by setting up their own companies.
They are salt of the earth people. You know, doing, trying to do the best because they've.
You can't take from that figure that they're all going to be massive companies.
No, I'm not saying people. That. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is right. It's like water. It finds a way sometimes. People, you know, human innovation, ingenuity finds a way.
No one was going to say that we weren't going to find a way. Of course we were. Point is that we've there's missed opportunity that we're now not going to have because of this.
There could be someone, right? And this goes back. There could be one of those people, those businesses, right? And let's say it's of 20, I think 20,000 have been started this year. Even if one of those becomes very successful, you know, that person previously...
Of course, but there's nothing about being in the EU that stopped you setting up a business.
Yeah. I know, but that person... Well, no, but you may find... We never hear... We never hear of the businesses that have pivoted somewhere and done better because of Brexit. And there are some people like that. There are people... In fact, you know what? If you look at the vaccine rollout, that wouldn't have happened so fast under the EU. And in fact, the EU is saying they will not be rolling out... They haven't... AstraZeneca haven't even submitted their full data to the EU yet. And so they won't even get the vaccine out before January. We're going to start rolling this thing out. 500,000 doses in the first week, they hope, a couple of thousand, and then up to 2 million a week. So if that gets done, that's 15 million people in a period of a month. That's the extremely vulnerable, and NHS and all that, and more. That's not even going to happen in the EU. And they're in as dire a situation as we are with the thing. So that's one positive come out of it, that we've pressed...
But we wouldn't necessarily have had to buy in via the EU, would we? We would have...
No, we could have done our own thing. Yeah, there's no EU law stopping you from rolling out a vaccine.
Yeah. No, there is. You are part of the European...
They've decided as a group that they want to do it slowly to use their own...
No, but we're part of the, if you're part of the EU...
We've got our own regulator.
Oh, but hang on. No. If you're part of the EU, you are part of the European Medical Association and the EMA, and you have to roll out on their time. They have to get passed. We can't just roll it out here if we're part of the EU. You can't do that.
Of course
we can. We can't. Have you ever heard of the MHRA before?
Yeah.
No, you haven't. They come in. They literally.
He's a member of them.
Yeah. I work for them.
They are literally, ahead of the curve, ahead of the EU. What thing is? I can admit there will be certain things that will be issues. Of course, there will. There'll be more documents, all that stuff. But
I tell you, the mad point is that it's never quite going to go away, and nor should it, because it's ridiculous. But the agreement gets reviewed in, is it 2 years' time or 3 years' time or something? So that time will fly anyway. And then we'll be back to kind of...
No, we won't be back to square one. We'll just... It'll be iteration. It'll be a tweak.
It's never going to be a healthy relationship, I don't think.
Of course it will. We'll forget about those. It's already... Innocent. Businesses will roll on then. Of course they will. When a business is concerned, it will. There's a lot of politics...
Did you see the guy... was he Glass Eel Farmer? The Sky News reported on him. And... There's a case in point of people that...
Glass eel farmer, exactly. Do you know why he focuses on the smallest, most petty businesses? He employs one person, him and his missus probably, that's it.
He employs 20 people.
Yeah, and turns over a couple of million or 3 million or something. And he voted for Brexit, even though his entire market is in the EU. Like, it's all non-UK business. And he's now... You know, potentially getting stung with all sorts of delays and tariffs and whatever that he wouldn't have had if he hadn't voted for Brexit.
You could have argued, well, that's evolution, that's survival of the fittest. How stupid is that guy cutting off his market? You know, his business would have failed sooner or later anyway by his stupid decisions. Yeah. When your biggest market is in the EU and you cut it off, what do you hope to gain from that, fella? Use your brain, yeah? And
what's interesting about his story is that the thing he didn't foresee was that his customers would have to fill in import forms.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're going, well, why would we deal with you?
Yeah.
And that's obviously, because no one was talking about those sort of non-tariff barriers at the time, because that's not a sexy topic and no one understands it. And frankly, why would they care? But those are the things which prevent trade. Yeah. And that's not in the trade deal. Right. And so his customers in France and Germany are like, well, I'm not going to fill out all these forms. Why do I do that? I'm going to go with another supplier that I don't have to do that with.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be any positives whatsoever about Brexit?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course there will. But I find it frustrating that the sort of little things like that, the things that are really going to affect our lives, just get washed under the carpet. Washed under the carpet, that's not a phrase, is it?
Swept.
Brushed
swept.
Under the carpet.
Yeah.
With eels, it probably is washed under the carpet. Washed, we're talking about eels. Yeah.
I just don't, the idea of sovereignty is such a vague thing. It just seems such a crazy prize, when actually the people who voted for it are in the main going to be worse off.
Yeah. I think the negatives outweigh the positives.
Yeah, but that's such an opinion, isn't it? Mm.
Well, what are the big positives going to be?
The vaccines roll up faster.
I don't think that's true.
Because it's true. We are the first country to roll out two vaccines now. Passed, done, rolling out.
If we were still in Europe, we could have been part of the conversation about how the vaccine rolled out. Being and one they of were the blocked only countries you. They, in Europe that's producing a vaccine, they were blocked might have had you. A decent say in terms of how it happened.
Yeah, but they were blocked you, wouldn't they? Because, that's the way they are. But
this was always the issue with the EU. We were always confrontational with them, as opposed to the countries that succeed in the EU, who build consensus and coalitions and work with the countries around them. We just wanted to fight all the time. It's that sort of British politics of adversary, us against them. Whereas the Germans and French build alliances.
Let's be honest, right? Let's be honest. You see Germany, right? And Britain, they really are, innovators, big business leaders in finance, France not so much, Italy not so much, and yet you've got a load of countries there that you're not aligned with in any way. You want to trade with, yes, but you don't want to similar policies to them because you're a different kind of country. Your business is different, it's all different, so you can't anyway, we're getting into politics too much. We're going to go because Steve, you're going out. Yeah, where are you going, Steve?
I'm just going out for a walk, to be honest, nothing major.
Hang on. There was an urgency at the start of the podcast, right?
You're not allowed out, Steve.
Yeah, you're not allowed out. You're locked down.
You are allowed. You're allowed out for exercise, and I'm going to go for a walk.
You'll be catapulted over into England if you catch the virus, Steve. Like, throw him out! Like one of those witch catapults from the medieval days. But are you allowed to walk on your own, Steve? Or are you walking with somebody?
I'm walking with somebody, but obviously at a distance. So
is it a lady?
I'm not sure if you're allowed to do that, but...
You're allowed to walk with a lady. Are you walking with a lady?
It's not with a lady, no.
Who is she, Steve?
Just a friend.
You can't hold hands, Steve.
No.
I'm going to call the Headley.
Unless you've got...
Headley.
Headley. Can you hold hands? Because I'm sure that's a metre each arm.
No heavy petting.
Definitely no heavy petting and definitely no hold hands. No.
Yes. You still have to be 2 metres apart, though.
Yeah.
I got long arms.
That's not a problem for Steve. Oh.
Yeah, he's lucky he's got long arms. Just measure his arms, boys. Let's see, you're 2 metres apart. Right, put him on the catapult. This isn't right. I reckon this month, January, we'll see a lot of... It's going to get worse. I've got my... They're not updating the vaccine count. I've got my spreadsheet of the hospital admissions. That's going up. It's quite scary. I want to see the vaccine... When the vaccine starts affecting that in a positive way... But they're not running out.
I think it's good they listen to Tony Blair.
I thought that, yeah. Do you know what? A lot of people criticise Tony Blair, but it seems like, yeah, I didn't know this. And obviously he's been... When you ask like Tony Blair, people approach you, and they with a bit of influence and saying, Tony, did you understand that, first vaccination, first dose will give you about 50 to 60% protection, and then obviously you need a booster. But get that out rolled out. And so they're doing that now. They're Tony Blair, I know, that's quite good, that. So I think January, maybe if you've got cash, a month of opportunity. But I think for the rest of the year, then once we start seeing hospital admissions coming down and the vaccination taking effect, we'll see a rally. So back to Steve, your earlier question, that's the thing, I think. We're not going to see a rally straight away because we're going to have headlines after headlines of, bad...
Probably going to get worse before it gets better, no?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, I mean, if people have parties and stuff and don't listen... It's going to get worse. It's like, and it's 10 days after, isn't it? It's literally transmission is around 10 days after. So it's not going to be good. It's like at least, 10th, and then you got to after that. But yeah, you should listen to that doctor. I'll try and get that on. And it was amazing what he was saying. And it's quite scary. He said, thing is, if people just listen and behave for this month, it will help a lot for next month. And it will help because then the vaccine will be here. But he said, but right now we're in the eye of the storm. It's true, but again, when it comes to the stock market, I think there would be opportunities if you have cash. Do you have any cash, boys, in the poof?
5%.
Yeah, about 5%, yeah.
Okay. Put my last bit of cash into Ilika.
Did you? Okay.
What a bad decision that was, eh?
Yeah, I know. See, that's good. So, all right.
What's the what's your little graph showing on C4XD, Justin? This must be
bullish.
Is it 5% up right now?
Are they C4XD? Yeah, they're doing well, aren't they? Let's have a look. Yeah,
it's really starting to motor now.
See, I took all my money out of C4XD and put it into Ilika, so it was best off there.
Yeah, well, they may come out with some news. Who knows?
Yeah.
But tonight it's looking good. It's above that previous, previous high back in August, which was about 26 pence. It broke up above that level, and that's on the new level today. So, yeah, it's looking quite good actually. The 200-day moving average is turning up. All the moving averages are going in the right direction, and in fact, the 200-day moving average hasn't been going up this steep for a long time. The only one thing I would say, not a bad thing, is the RSI is up at 80, which obviously above 70 is technically oversold, but you have to get above 70 to really start to move.
Overbought?
Yeah, overbought, sorry. So you really need to get above 70 to get it's a start of a boiling kettle, basically,
We just need some news now, don't we? That's all. Yeah. This is all based on nothing.
Yeah. Which they've got cash, haven't they? They do spend a bit. I don't know how much Clive is spending on the task force.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, okay. What's he doing? He doesn't write the RNSs too often, does he?
Well, he's changing the policy in terms of how many jabs you get, so that's good.
Was that down to him, you think?
Yeah.
No, he's on the vaccine task force. He's not the MHRA. That was the British, the not the European, the British MHRA.
It's the task force.
It's
definitely the task force.
All right, but anyway, boys, I just think three things, right? I think I have a quiz here, right? Quickly, three things that will improve your investment returns in the next year. Have a guess what they are.
Making more money.
Going up.
three things to look at then in a company before you invest that will help your investment returns. What do you think? What do you say? This is what I think, of course, it's opinion. This is what I think. What do you think? Steve, any ideas? Three things. One of these things. No, thanks very much. Steve wants to go for his walk with his boyfriend. Okay, first one is price, okay? If it's spiked like crazy, avoid it for a while. Let it come back. If you like the company, share prices do not keep going up. Fear of missing out is the biggest, detriment to private investors as far as returns are concerned. Getting caught up in the frenzy, the emotion. Don't. Share prices never always go up. Let it settle down, come back, and then get a better price there. Secondly, small caps, if they're not cash generative, which a lot of companies we buy into are not on the edge of it maybe, make sure they've got enough cash. At least 6 months, hopefully 12 months worth of cash. Look at how much they burned the last 12 months. It's a yardstick. And I think thirdly, trend. Is the company in a hot sector that's going to get bigger? I mean, they're not just hype-filled, but is there demand behind it? If it is, then, a rising tide raises all boats, So those three things, just if you even consider those three things, I think you do a lot better. Most investors that lose money basically just chase the share price because people are ramping it on Twitter like crazy.
Oh, never do that.
Yeah. So here we are. And what's your plans for New Year's Eve, boys? Same as that? Nine, I suppose, is it?
Going to lay a patio.
That's not the same as mine. Yeah, early night. Okay, lay a patio.
Hopefully I won't get woken up by fireworks this year.
I hate that, do you? I'm just at the stage where I'm shouting out at the window. So stop it, you fools! What's wrong with you? Putting big bangers in the air doesn't signify anything apart from you're an idiot. This is a change. We created this. We calibrated time. Time is an abstract quantity. We calibrated into these times, and we go from 1 year to another year. People start to think, fireworks. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. You don't normally do that on a Thursday night.
I know. No, leave it alone, you fools. Yeah. Wow, get some bangers out, boys. Let's upset all the dogs in the area. Yeah,
there we are. That's
true. My dogs are made four-legged dogs. Right, have a nice happy new year, boys, and we'll speak to the other side. Let's speak next year, boys.
See you next year. Yeah. Maybe actually see you next year.
Yeah, that's changed. I know. There we are.
Maybe.
It has actually been a whole year, I think, since we've seen each other, hasn't it?
I'm looking a lot more attractive, I think.
Well, we've seen you on video, so we beg to differ.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.